best day for watching that movie. I'm the leader, Molly. Wow, I'm the leader. Wow, I'm the leader. Oh, I'm the leader, Molly.
The following episode contains spoilers for the new series, The Continental. Follow on if you've watched the show.
Welcome, listeners, to, of course, this special edition of the Lethal Mullet podcast, a bonus episode to tie into our recent look at John Wick. And, of course, this is to do with The Continental, which is a brand new three-part series. It's basically a mini-series, if you like, and it's based on the world of John Wick. Kind of a prequel to that universe set in what would be, of course, the 1970s in New York and many other places. So, here we are looking at, of course, The Continental from the world of John Wick. And as Aussie screens, it is, and of course, Prime. And, of course, Amazon Prime is all over Australia when it comes to this sort of great material. We've got, of course, the film, the series, which has done amazing stuff for, of course, Chad Stahelski, David Leitch, and, of course, the amazing work of John Wick himself, Keanu Reeves, Ian McShane, and many, many others. So it is, great to see this in that sort of, ideal, if you like. So, The Continental from the world of John Wick. It's an American crime action drama miniseries. It was developed all by Greg Coolidge, Kirk Warden, and Sean Simmons, and serves basically as a spin-off. But it is a prequel to the universe of John Wick itself. Coolidge and Ward basically became showrunners for the series and, of course, wrote the scripts, along with some others. And the show stars, of course, Mel Gibson, Mad Max himself, and Colin Woodell. So the idea of this series is that it is the background story of how Winston Scott, in an alternate 1970s, of course, with the universe of the Continental isn't exactly the real world, came, and it shows how he came to his position as, of course, the proprietor of the Continental chain of hotels in New York. Safe havens for everything from legal assassins and many much others, and, of course, where no business may ever take place. Like the Highlander franchise with churches and holy ground, basically that's the holy ground of these guys. And explores everything from real-world events and, of course, including the Winter of Discontent and, of course, the American Mafia and how they came to, of course, gain power through economics and much, much more. So let's have a look at the name of some of these guys and, of course, get into some of the characters. Mel Gibson plays Cormac O'Connor, who is the current Continental of New York leader, and he runs the Continental through the 1970s. This is the grumpier old man version of Mel Gibson. He's bearded, he is in his, elder years, and of course he's seen and done everything. So his character's a little bit like Winston in some ways as he is in the Ian McShane version, but not quite the same. We've got the young Colin Woodell playing, of course, Winston Scott, much younger. Ian McShane portrayed the older version of the character in, of course, the film series. We've got Michelle Prater as KD. Ben Robson plays, of course, Francis Patrick Frankie Scott, and this is his older brother and Yen's husband. And he's basically a war veteran who's come back and, he's basically flying way under the radar, trying to get away from everything that is happening, of course, with, himself to his brother and all that family as well. Hubert Pointdeux-Jeur plays Miles in this. We've got Nung Kate playing, of course, Yen Scott, and this is Frankie's wife, and she's just as tough as he is as well, which is great. Jessica Alain as Lou. We've got also Jeremy Bob as Mayhew and Peter Green as Uncle Charlie. And, of course, with Uncle Charlie, David Patrick Kelly portrayed the older version of the character in the first two John Wick films. So it is tied to it, folks. It is part of that as well, that sort of universe, and we definitely get to see some of these ones in there too. We get to see, of course, Charon, which was originally played by Lance Reddick, the late great Lance Reddick in the, of course, John Wick films, and in this one it's played by Ayumide Adigun, and Ayumide Etigon plays the character, you know, just in the same style, but still gives it his own flair as well. We've got Adam Shapiro as Lemmy, Katie McGrath as the adjudicator. We've also got Claire Cooper. Patrick Bergen is in this, folks. Patrick bloody Bergen. Yes, Robin Hood himself, folks. And, of course, from Patrick Games. Yes, Patrick Games, folks. He's in that one too. And many, many others. We've got Hansel and Gretel. We've got Jenkins. All other characters that are going to pop up in this series as well. So, you know, I was quite pumped when I saw that a series was coming, and I didn't think it was going to be out this early. You know, I think, you know, it was going to come out in the next week or vice versa. So, you know, it's definitely something that would be, you know, music to my ears if it came through. So with that too, let's look at some of the people behind the scenes. Of course, this is all based on Derek Kolstad's John Wick, you know, his idea of the series and all that sort of stuff too. And, of course, we've got only one season. There's so far two episodes. There's a third episode on the way, and we will talk about that in later episodes of the show. Executive producers on this one, of course, Stahelski and Leach, along with Kolstad. Also, Erica Lee, Sean Simmons, Marshall Persinger. We've also got Albert Hughes, Greg Coolidge, Kirk Ward, Ian Smith, and Rhett Reese, Paul Warwick as well. Ian Smith is the main producer, and of course it was produced and made in the location of Hungary. We've also got, of course, the running time of these episodes around about the 90-minute mark, depending on each one. So one's about 79 minutes, another one about 86, so it's roughly about the same too. And of course, this being so well tied to the series of films too, we're going to get a real feel of that sort of flair for the action and, of course, the way it's lit. It's got a lot of that dark, sort of grungy sort of feel, particularly, you know, the second film. There's not so much neon in this part of the series too. So this episode, we're going to quickly be talking about, of course, and reviewing Night One, Brothers in Arms, directed by Albert Hughes. It was written by Greg Coolidge, Kirk Ward, and Sean Simmons, and came out on the 22nd of September, 2023. Now, I watched this while I was smashing away on some Warhammer and got so into it, I had to put the Warhammer aside. It's a good, you know, idea of just how things will be. So have a look at the plot. In the 70s, during a New York party, in a New Year party itself at the Continental Hotel there, Frankie, he gets through, steals a pass, and one used, of course, by the high table. And this is to mint the gold coins that they make as well, too. Of course, it's a big part of the original movies is the gold coins and what they're used for, too. The manager, Cormac O'Connor, raised Frankie and is now his basically the estranged brother, Winston, from high childhood. And the two of them are raised by him as crooks, as criminals. Of course, from here, there's pressure put on them by the high table to kidnap Winston and bring him back, of course, from London, where he tried to pursue basically normal opportunities in life, you know, business, all that sort of stuff too. From here, of course, he goes to New York. And this is where, of course, you know, he's asked about his brother. Where is your brother? What is he doing? Why isn't he here? What's going on? And what is, you know, his mission in life now? Of course, Winston himself knows nothing of what's going on because he's estranged from his brother. He hasn't seen his brother in a long time. Frankie, of course, you know, is come, and of course, he's a Vietnam War veteran. So, and of course, he's come along with a comrade and provides a lead all the way to Alphabet City, where this is where Winston actually finds Frankie and his new wife, Yen, hiding. And this is where they basically, in an abandoned cinema, is where they're hiding. They're basically put in place to keep well under the radar. But this is where Cormac O'Connor sends his own assassins out after him, too. From here, the trio then go and try and find Charlie. And this is where one of Charlie's own people then actually betrays all of them into Cormac. So as you can see, there's this building in between the same hotel. Everything's happening. And from here, they're pursued to the building roof. And this is where Frankie has set up a helicopter. And from here, Yen and the pilot, they get shot and wounded. Whereas Frankie then, after all of this, sacrifices himself. And this is where he's shot dead by the mute twin assassins, Hansel and Gretel. Which is an interesting, again, I don't know how to take some of these assassins they got set up there too. It's starting to get a little bit like the Highlander franchise, right? So in Highlander, obviously a lot of this stuff, you know, you've got weird assassins and all that sort of stuff popping up here and there. And I think that's where this gets a little bit crazy, you know? These two are really quite iconic in the actual film itself too. From here, the pair then return back to Cormac O'Connor. But they don't have the press with them. This is the press to make the gold coins. But from here, Winston then, of course, out for revenge, takes Yen back to the dojo where he found all his answers before and then asks them to pair him up with weapons and ready to take his revenge. So that's the start of this miniseries. And it's interesting because we're getting to see, you know, the character that we know so well by Ian McShane in, you know, this sort of more action-packed environment. And it's interesting because you never would have thought that that would happen. What I love about this so far is that it does, you know, play up to, first of all, what it is a John Wick prequel. So it's got everything in there that's John Wick. Plus, we got a great cast. I mean, the people playing the characters here, David Patrick Kelly's character being played by Peter Green. I mean, they even look alike to a certain extent, except I think Peter Green's a bit taller than David Patrick Kelly, folks. You know, we're talking about the same guy all the way back from Warriors going, "Warriors, come out to play." You know, that guy, you know, he's great. And of course, he's Sully. You know, why'd you let Sully go? You know, it was straight to John Matrix, same thing. You know, and I think that's the great thing about that, too, is we get to see that, you know, we have that sort of tie to the films. But at the same time, and even Charon, the obviously in that too as well. So with that, I think that it really holds well to that. But it's got an identity all its own. This is a 1970s crime noir, you know, in some ways even a bit Blade Runner-ish at times in this. It's shot extremely well. And I think that's what really, you know, sort of pulled me into this one, even more so than maybe number three, John Wick 3. You know, this great to see the development of other characters other than John Wick. We can start to see the Wayne that, you know, even Keanu Reeves has with this series. You know, he's pumping out so much stuff all at once, but, you know, it's something that's interesting to him too. So let's have a look at the development of this. So basically they came up with the idea for this when they were doing John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. So as far back as 2017, Kolstad and Stahelski would think about ideas for some type of prequel. And from here, they thought, oh, let's call it The Continental and we'll sort of get away from John Wick itself and talk about some of the other characters. Stahelski wanted to direct the first episode and serve as sort of that origin story to John Wick. And of course, from here, you know, they wanted to make sure the world building of Wick had sort of built up further and further. And I think the big thing with Stahelski right now is that he's so into building another franchise called Highlander. And, of course, that is with Henry Cavill, which is interesting. So the cast, obviously, Mel Gibson headlining this one. And from that, basically, this is where we started to get a real feel for it. Actually, I'm surprised they didn't even ask Mel to direct some of this too. Great director. Because Colin Woodell playing the young Winston Scott, and there's a little bit of a likeness. You can see the likeness there. Peter Green and Ayamidi Adegun playing, of course, the younger versions of Uncle Charlie and Charon. And we also get to see the new characters come in this too, which I think they're just you know, right up in there. The photography itself took place back in 2021 and was shot in Budapest, Hungary. Yeah, interesting. Where Blade Runner 2049 was shot as well. Interesting. And, of course, from here, this is where we get the start of this series. So the idea was this one, it came out on Stars Network, and this is, so they were going to be originally, but it came out on Peacock Network in the United States. And, of course, this is where they started to really get that around internationally through Prime Video, which is where we're finding it here in Australia. And I think that's what makes this one a little bit more interesting too at the same time. So how did this fare with, of course, critics everywhere? So thanks to Rotten Tomatoes, that website, yep, they said it has an approval rating of 64% based on a total of 74 reviews. So an average rating of 6.8 out of 10. So the website said the Continental offers stylish action, although it'll be most satisfying for hardcore fans invested in further franchise world building. I can kind of see that. There's a bit of truth to that. You know, like a lot of these characters we know from, of course, seeing them in the series itself. But having said that, if you didn't know it was John Wick, it'd still be just as gratifying to see it too. Now, I'm not going to give a full review of this until I actually see the rest of the series, but I will say this. This first episode gets a 4 out of 5 on, of course, the Hallenbach scale here on the Lethal Mullet podcast.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU Podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.